My late friend Carlton Allen has written a story that I want to share with you this morning. Carlton served as pastor of First Baptist Claxton, Georgia, and First Baptist Commerce, Georgia. He passed away suddenly 3 years ago at the age of 67. But he was a marvelous storyteller. He gave his story a title more dignified than mine, but I think his title was a little bit less interesting. The story is prefaced by a word regarding the tendency we all have to get used to a certain system or way of doing things, and how on those occasions when the system fails, we are particularly unprepared to deal with the consequences. Allen says that no other institution in the world is more prone to this scenario than the church. Well, maybe in Claxton and Commerce, but not in Macon. We have rituals and traditions based more upon what our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents did and thought than on any portion of Scripture. This is beautifully and comically revealed in the following story. A story about a communion Sunday at Sandy Run Baptist Church near the banks of the Savannah River. The pastor was in his study at 9:30 one Sunday morning going over his notes that would focus on the fellowship aspects of communion when all of a sudden Mrs. Inez Lyons barged through the door of the pastor's study and gasped, "It's gone!" Mrs. Lyons was a rather sturdy woman and could be somewhat intimidating to those who did not know her well. For years, Mrs. Lyons and her husband, Frank, had taken responsibility of preparing the elements for communion. Saturday afternoons were always spent at the church, washing and shining each serving piece. And on the day of communion, they would spend the Sunday school hour breaking the saltine crackers into pieces on the flat trays and filling the small shot glasses with Welch's grape juice. Reflecting on the saltines and Welch's, Carlton writes, "Like I said, most church ritual grows out of our ancestors' opinion rather than Scripture. Scripture says that Christ used wine and unleavened bread, but our forebears considered drinking alcohol a sin, or at least that was their public opinion on the matter. And to our forebears, a loaf of bread that did not rise, unleavened bread, was considered a disgrace. So we were left with saltines and Welch's grape juice, what Allen calls poor second cousins to the original elements." When Mrs. Lyons screamed, "It's gone," she was referring to those poor second cousins. Her hand went to the base of her throat as she rasped, "The bread, the juice, it's all gone." They searched the small kitchen, going through all the cupboards, the bread and juice nowhere in sight. Fortunately, Mr. Lyons appeared. Frank Lyons was a small, thin man with a bright pink complexion. They were a perfect match. She was a strong, opinionated, domineering woman, and he seemed content to let her be just that. "Oh, preacher, this is just awful. But I found something y'all ought to see." In the sanctuary, beneath the front pew, was an empty saltine box and two empty quart bottles of Welch's grape juice. They all stood there for a moment pondering the mystery when a voice behind them called out, "Hey there!" They looked up to see Cooter Barnes standing with a wide grin on his face. Cooter was usually described by people in the community as not being quite right. when in reality, Cooter was just a country boy who never grew up. He lived by himself, did odd chores here and there to make a living. Cooter saw the bottles and the box on the floor and asked, "Somebody have a picnic?" Mrs. Lyons looked at him with a wild-eyed expression. Fearing what she might say, the pastor beat her to the punch and said, "Well, Cooter, someone has eaten the crackers and juice we use for the Lord's Supper." Cooter noticed a trail of mud leading back to the old choir room behind the sanctuary, used now primarily for storage. A window had been broken in the room. Cooter said, "Must have been somebody passing through. Bet they come in here to sleep on the pews and got hungry and found them crackers and juice." "Oh, good Lord," said Mrs. Lyons with a look of disgust on her face. Mr. Lyons just stood there shaking his head, wiping the perspiration from his forehead with a handkerchief. The pastor said he didn't see why they just couldn't postpone the Lord's Supper until next week. He knew he had made a mistake when he heard Mrs. Lyons' sharp intake of breath, followed by a sputtering sound as she fought for the words that would best express her dismay. Finally, she came out with, "Well, I never. Pastor, we haven't missed a Lord's Supper in 23 years, nor in the 47 before that when Mr. and Mrs. Grayson prepared the elements. They told us that when we took over for them. I'm not going to let it happen now." Mr. Lyons had a panicked look on his face. His hands were starting to shake as the perspiration began to cascade down his forehead. The pastor's own hands were beginning to clench with tension. Then he had an idea. He said, "You know, the minute mark over at the crossroads should be open. We can probably get what we need there." Cooter jumped in quickly. "Yeah, that's an idea. I'd be glad to go." Cooter always wanted to be of help. The only problem was that people rarely trusted him or believed he could be of help. Mrs. Lyons was such a person. "No, no, we can't do that. Frank can go. Go on, Frank." Frank jumped and looked at the pastor with an expression of concern and helplessness, his hands continuing to tremble. The pastor realized Frank couldn't drive in that condition, so he had Frank clean up the mess in the sanctuary and sent Cooter to get a big box of saltines and 2 quarts of Welch's grape juice. Frank and Mrs. Lyons headed to the closet for the cleaning supplies. Cooter was off to the store, and the pastor went back to his study. Foolish enough to think that the crisis had been weathered, when in reality they were experiencing the deceptive eye of the passing of the hurricane, the deceptive calm of the passing of the hurricane's eye. Cooter returns with a brown grocery bag and takes it into the kitchen. All of a sudden there is a breathless scream, "Oh my Lord!" followed by a thud. Rushing to the kitchen, the pastor found Cooter standing there with a confused expression on his face. Mr. Lyons was kneeling on the floor, shaking his head and mumbling as though seized by a charismatic episode. His handkerchief was clutched in his right hand as he frantically waved it back and forth in front of his wife's face. Mrs. Lyons was on the floor, her head in his lap, eyes closed, mouth sagging open. She had fainted. "What happened?" the pastor said. Mr. Lyons continued his incoherent mumbling, but with his right hand he did manage to point to the counter, and there on the counter was an empty bag, and beside it a pair of 2-liter RC Colas and a box of Moon Pies. The pastor turned back into the hallway, pressed the back of his hand to his mouth, trying to suppress his laughter. Fighting for composure, he asked, "Cooter, what happened?" "Nothing happened, preacher," Cooter said, smiling again. "They was out of soda crackers, And Louise said they ain't never carried no Welch's. They did have some of that Jolly Aid grape drink mix, but that stuff's awful. So I just got these RCs, and the moon pies was right next to the drinks. Mrs. Lyons was not trying to compose herself, struggling with her anger. "Cooter," she said, slowly and a great deal of effort, "we cannot use cola and moon pies for the Lord's Supper." "We can't," replied Cooter with genuine astonishment. "No, it would be a sacrilege." "A sack of what?" Cooter asked, still without a clue. The pastor then sought to explain to Cooter that some people might think they were mocking or making fun of the Lord's Supper if they used colas and moon pies. "Really?" Cooter asked, scratching his head. "But don't the Bible say Jesus and his men used bread and wine?" "Yes, that's right," pastor said. "Well, I don't see where what we got here is much further off than Welch's and soda crackers." Mrs. Lyons began to explain with a large bit of frustration how that Jesus used wine and unleavened or flat bread because that was a natural part of the Passover meal, and that the grape juice comes from the same fruit as the wine, but it's not intoxicating, and the saltines are flat pieces of bread. "So," Cooter said, "Jesus just used part of their regular everyday meal, right?" "Right," Mrs. Lyons and the pastor said. Cooter broke into a grin and said, "Well then, we's okay. Me and half the folks in this church drink RCs and eat moon pies for lunch probably 2 or 3 times a week. Shoot, Mr. Lyons, don't you?" Mr. Lyons piped up with, "Well, yeah, that does sort of make sense." His voice trailing off as he caught the look on his wife's face. The pastor glanced at his watch and realized it was 10:30. "Look," he said, "if we're going to have the Lord's Supper this morning, I don't think we have a choice." They all reluctantly agreed. And Mrs. Lyons, shaking her head as she opened her first box of moon pies, said, "But they're just so common." And that phrase gave birth to inspiration for the pastor. In the morning communion meditation, he related how the juice and crackers had been taken. And he reminded the folks that if a person was that hungry, God would probably have preferred that the crackers and juice be used to satisfy their hunger. He told of the lions' dedication to their task and of Cooter's willingness to help and how he had brought back the only things he could find, RC colas and moon pies. He told how they all realized how common RC colas and moon pies were, just as wine and unleavened bread were common elements of a first century meal. He suggested how that Jesus selected common elements to teach the disciples and us that the gospel would be communicated through common folk, ordinary people like Matthew and Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, Cooter and the Lyons, you and me. He talked about how the gospel can be experienced through common events, like ordinary conversation, fellowship, a Wednesday night meal, working together on a mission project, using whatever you can find, like 5 loaves and 2 fish in our gospel story today, and how the common and the ordinary can be transformed into nourishment for a multitude. We are mistaken when we think that only certain special people can be chosen and used by God, or that only the best will do for God. It is time that we recover what my friend Carlton called the wonderful ordinariness of the gospel. The story concludes with these reflections from the pastor. I believed I noticed some changes in our folks after that day. They had a different spirit. More of them were willing to teach and pray and lead. We never again used saltines and grape juice for the Lord's Supper. But we didn't use RC Colas and Moon Pies either. Instead, our deacons voted that we would use rolled out flat biscuits and sweet tea, and that folks in the church would take turns making the elements. And from that point on, the spirit of fellowship and communion observances was richer and sweeter than any moon pie I've ever tasted. I wonder what's on the table this morning. More importantly, I wonder what it might have to say to us about this meal. I pray it will remind us of God's tendency to use the common, ordinary elements of our everyday lives for the uncommon, extraordinary work of living and sharing the gospel. And I pray we will, in the midst of it all, find among us a fellowship sweet and a communion holy. I wonder. I wonder.